Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the Secretary of Defense's announcement that the Pentagon is revamping its spy operations to focus on new threats in the Asia-Pacific region such as China. A retired CIA operations officer who received the agency's Medal of Merit, Gene Coyle, joins us to discuss the turf wars between the Pentagon and the CIA, now led by a former general. Then on Armenian Genocide Commemoration Day, we will examine the almost unreported diplomatic history of the Turkey-Armenia protocols with a former State Department advisor involved in the efforts to end the denial and division between the two countries. David Phillips, the director of the Program on Peacebuilding and Rights at Columbia University's Institute for the Study of Human Rights, joins us. Then finally, we'll speak with Scott Horton, a professor at Columbia Law School and a contributing editor at Harper's in Legal Affairs and National Security. We'll examine the Obama administration's efforts in the new area of human protection with its Atrocity Prevention Board, designed to prevent genocides that have previously gone on unabated while the great powers wrung their hands on the sidelines. Joining us now is Gene Coyle, a retired CIA operations officer who served undercover in numerous countries. He became an open CIA employee in 2000 and received the agency's Medal of Merit. He has published in the CIA journal Studies in Intelligence and since retiring has taught at Indiana University in Bloomington. Welcome to Background Briefing, Gene Coyle.
Glad to talk to you again.
And the Pentagon has announced today that it's reshuffling its intelligence services and its spy efforts. Pentagon officials said several hundred case officers and analysts at the Pentagon's Defense Intelligence Agency would be shifted to a new defense clandestine service. Now, clandestine activities, I thought, were the purview of the CIA. So is this an encroachment, a turf war that's going on here?
I'd say it's one more sign of the emphasis on all things military over the past decade since we've been in the global war on terrorism ever since 2001. And you see this in who have been the heads of the Office of Director of National Intelligence. Now we have General Petraeus heading the CIA. Now this move of the Pentagon wanting to move more into the clandestine operations. It's just a sign of the times that everything is being shifted to the military. Some of us don't think that's necessarily a great idea. The problem is there's a different mentality. If you've spent years in the military, the only way a military works is you salute the person above you and say, "Yes, sir, I'll carry that out right away." Within the CIA, as soon as somebody's been working there about 6 weeks, they think they know as much as the director does. So I suspect it's been a rather interesting time with General Petraeus there. And, you know, this move to try and turn military officers into deep cover clandestine operations officers, I'm not terribly optimistic. This has been tried before, and it never turned out terribly well. And, but, you know, hopefully this will be better the next time around.
Well, clearly there's been a kind of shuffling that's gone on recently in the Obama administration. You have an Army General Petraeus now at the head of the CIA, and then you have Leon Panetta, who was the head of the CIA, now head of the Department of Defense, and he's announcing that the Pentagon is revamping its spy agencies. You mentioned, Gene Coyle, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. That's a former Defense Intelligence Agency, General Clapper, I believe, in charge of that now. That was an earlier revamping of intelligence following the 9/11 disaster. And from my understanding is that the DNI is considered, it's got a great big counterterrorism center out there at Tyson's Corner, but my understanding is it's largely a kind of a white elephant, that it's supposed to oversee all 16 U.S. intelligence agencies and, you know, coordinate the better intelligence gathering, but none of the above have happened, have they?
Well, the major complaint about the ODNI, it was created to lend big picture direction coordination among the different agencies. The organization that it was before, called the Community Management Staff, had something like 250 people in it. all of a sudden the DNI's office is up to 1,500, 1,600 people, according to newspaper accounts. And the complaint is you simply put another layer of bureaucracy on the top of everything else, which is not speeded up or coordinated anything. It's sort of the Washington disease. As soon as you've got 10 people, the person in charge thinks he needs 15 people, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not sure that the DNI's office has provided this big picture coordination that Congress had in mind when they created it.
Well, clearly, Gene Call, again, a retired CIA operations officer who served undercover in numerous countries. He became an open CIA employee in 2000 and received the agency's Medal of Merit, and he's been published in the CIA Journal Studies in Intelligence, and since retiring has taught at Indiana University in Bloomington. Clearly, there's a vast disparity in money and assets that the Pentagon has. They've got the lion's share of the money, and they've got all the toys. And they've set up, again, since 9/11, this thing called JSOC, the Joint Special Operations Command. That's been involved in all kinds of clandestine efforts. And I recall when, after 9/11, when the U.S. attacked Afghanistan, the CIA went in there with bags of cash and were able to use the military for targeting the Taliban and essentially wiping them out. But my understanding is that now the shoe's on the other foot. The Pentagon's got all of the military assets, and they're running around with bags of cash.
Well, as I said earlier, the main emphasis in U.S. foreign policy over the last decade has been counterterrorism, going out and capturing people and killing people. It's almost, it's not really CIA. It's the Office of Strategic Services of World War II. It's a totally different game than sending people out to chat foreigners up around the cocktail circuit. And some former CIA officers, myself included, feel that with this great emphasis, perhaps it was really needed over these past years, but that we have given up and we have lost a lot of know-how of how to do classic clandestine intelligence. You have people who were brought on board in the year or two after 9/11 who were thrown immediately into the counterterrorism world and who have reached sort of middle grade appointments without ever actually going out and spending months developing, cultivating, and recruiting a foreign diplomat, a foreign scientist. We have been so focused on terrorists, we seem to have perhaps forgotten how to do classic espionage. And I'm not certain that putting the military even more into clandestine operations is going to prove to be much of a benefit either.
Well, one of the things I've found extraordinary, Gene Call, as a journalist trying to cover intelligence and defense and national security issues, is how few people that I've managed to find, for example, in the run-up to the Iraq War, when there was a tremendous push in the media and by the government to go to war, there was only a handful of former CIA people that I spoke with at the time, Graham Fuller, Bob Baer, and others, who actually spoke Arabic and were able to say, wait a minute, you know, we spent time in Iraq. This is a disaster. This is only going to help Iran.
Well, there's certainly been enough of a controversy over the whole President Bush policy of invading Iraq, et cetera. That's a controversy that, you know, Gene Coyle has his view on. Other people have very different views. I'm afraid I fall in the camp wherein the administration decided what their policy was and then asked for intelligence that supported their already made decision, not where you gathered intelligence and then based on that you made a decision. As far as the Arabic, yes, there was a shortage of Arabic speakers on September 11th. There was a shortage 6 months later. That's understandable. But what I find disgraceful is, again, according to newspaper accounts and interviews that are done before Congress, now more than a decade later, the FBI, the CIA, the military still has this tremendous shortage of Arabic speakers. How long does it take to teach somebody Arabic if this is the crisis language of the year.
Well, apparently we've still got intelligence that was gathered from the initial invasion of Afghanistan back in 2001. The caches of intelligence were captured that hasn't been translated, and enormous amounts that still hasn't been translated from the invasion of Iraq.
About that, I have no knowledge. I would hope we can't possibly be 10 years behind, but one never knows.
Right. So is there anything in this new revamping of the Pentagon that indicates to you that this deficit in language and cultural skills that you would think would be, you know, the first thing that you'd need in terms of training intelligence officers, is that being met?
Well, my interpretation of this new creation at the Pentagon, and I emphasize I'm a man with no access to classified information. I'm just reading the newspaper like the rest of us these days. But after 30 years there, you do learn to read a little bit between the lines. This does sadly sound like just your classic bureaucratic turf fighting where everybody wants to have a part of the war, of the budget, that the military has decided they can take second lieutenants and send them out as operations officer just as easily as the CIA can. My own view, based on experience of dealing with military officers who were assigned to do clandestine operations in the past, they weren't very good at it. I know that sounds like sort of sour grapes from one side, but people generally who join the military do so for certain reasons and come with a certain personality and a certain education and a background. That doesn't always make for being a good clandestine officer, where you're going out, getting readings of people through months of conversations, manipulating those conversations, and leading the person down a path where they agree to become a spy for you. Hate to sound so cynical, but I'd be very surprised if in a few years from now somebody thought this was a great idea.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see, Gene Coyle, whether or not this new pivot towards targets in Iran and China and in the Asia-Pacific region, I guess that just as the Obama administration is pivoting to China, so is the intelligence, or at least the Pentagon's intelligence assets now. So we'll see whether or not there'll be some Mandarin speakers in the mix there. Not to mention that so many of our troubles in Iran seem to stem from an earlier CIA activity against the last government that they had there before the Shah.
Well, all of that foreign policy out in that region of the world is so mixed in with the domestic policy, and what seems like a good idea 1 year, 20 years later, comes back to haunt you. So,
such is life, eh?
Well, if someone would just really, you know, finally invent cold fusion or a hydrogen fuel cell, and we really wouldn't care where all that oil came or went, no one would bother learning Arabic or Farsi or anything else.
Well, Gene Coyle, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Take care.
Again, I've been speaking with Gene Coyle, a retired CIA operations officer who served undercover in numerous countries. He became an open CIA employee in 2000 and received the agency's Medal of Merit. He has published in the CIA journal Studies in Intelligence, and since retiring has taught at Indiana University in Bloomington. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about today's commemoration of the Armenian massacre and the Turkish-Armenian protocols.
Every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number. Taking rage.